Good afternoon and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything Real Long Retreat. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
How are you?
I am happy to be here. How are you?
The same. It's beautiful in North Carolina, and the red buds are in bloom, and it's absolutely exquisite.
I know. And the cardinals, they are a flying about. Very
they
exciting.
Are.
Yeah.
All right. So our assignment, that the one we're working on, is related to having anything in the world. What is it? And so the question from yesterday was, how did you select it? What was your process? So here's our first caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Bob in San Francisco.
Hello, Bob. Bob.
Hello. Well, let's see. I think with this assignment, I feel like I'm having like the same workshop day after day after day, just in looking at different things, because it always seems to come down to, you know, where am I looking to for my information, and am I here?
That's kind of it, isn't it?
Yeah, and I wonder if the kind of, I don't know if it's a bamboozle or something that I kind of saw through the past couple of days, is that that when I'm presented with this question, or really any question, you know, that I can, you know, have some awareness about it, and then get bamboozled into believing that awareness will hold me through the end of time. You know.
Uh-huh.
And it really kind of speaks to, like, you know, how important it is to kind of, you know, show up in this moment and keep, you know, attention here for the information, not referencing back to any other moment.
Yes, yes. Even a good moment, right? Even a moment where we saw a lot, or a moment where we were present. It's not the same, is it?
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sort of having a parallel workshop with some physical problems I've been having, and it's been sort of the same thing, where that something can work in one moment and do the opposite of whatever working is in the next moment, and getting lulled into this belief that I can, you know, stop, you know, awareness, you know, to stop my awareness practice. And feel like that's going to lead anywhere, you know. It's just it's a big setup.
Well, that's such an important thing to notice, right? Because ego wants us to believe that it's all the same, everything is the same. So why this moment? It's the same as the last moment. It's the same as the next moment's going to be. They're all the same. So why would you? Yeah. Why not apply what you already know? But what you're saying, what you're seeing, is it doesn't work that way. They're not the same. They only seem to be the same if we're identified with the ego and not present.
Yeah, yeah. And then kind of bundled up in all that for me is that in that moment is, you know, there has to be a willingness to trust my own adequacy to be there for that moment. Because there's such, you know, conditioning is always wanting me to look out externally, you know, because this person isn't up to it. So why don't we look to other, you know, quote unquote authority figures?
Yeah.
And they figured it out. They must know what to do. And yet they're not me. You know, they're not walking around in this
exactly
body.
Right. That's exactly right. They may be absolutely present, right? And just fine and dandy, but they're not me. So they actually can't. I mean, they can help me remember that being present is where I want to be, that I need to turn to awareness. So that's helpful. But what they know and what they do, yeah, can't help me a bit.
Yeah, that's great.
It's good to see.
It's really good to see, because especially like when I'm seeing like a doctor about this thing. You know, it's like, well, I want their I want what information they have, but I don't want to abandon presence in that process. because,
that's right,
you know, once again, they're not me. They know what they know
about you.
A thing, but they don't know about that thing as it relates to me yet or ever.
That's right. Well, and the or ever, yeah. And the interesting part, I was talking with somebody recently who has a situation in which four or five doctors are involved,
uh-huh,
and they don't agree.
Uh-huh.
They don't agree. They don't agree with about the symptoms. They don't agree about what to do with the diagnosis. They
yeah.
don't. They just. They don't agree. And we quickly get to a place of, okay, I'm really the only one I can count on here. And
yeah.
and with something like medical or car or house or whatever is that complex thing that we count on experts because it's just too much for me to, well. If I'm the only one that I can actually count on, then I need to be the one who's informed. And I think it's surprising how quickly and easily we can become an expert on something because it's only me I'm becoming an expert on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it was so funny because I had this experience of, like, I'd, like, gone to see this doctor. And there was, like, this condition thing of, oh, I hope he just makes this go away, right? But what I really got excited about in the appointment was, like, well, he said, like, let's take x-rays and let's get some information. And someone's like, oh, great, we're going to have some real information here, not just someone who's going to just say, oh, I know how to do this. And it's going to, and like, start finding myself so much more excited about, like, oh, great, more information, rather than, oh, you fixed me.
Right. Yes, yes, yeah. In fact, the person who says, oh, yeah, I know what that is, I can fix it, and reaches for a prescription pad, we'd say, okay, thanks so much for your time.
Exactly.
I'll be moving on now.
Yeah. Great.
Oh,
all right, thanks so much.
It's good to have awareness on our side. Thank you,
yeah,
Bob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you.
Oh, there was so much to be excited about in that call, Sherry. The thing that you said about what we're becoming experts on is me, and our awareness is another area of expertise. Because ultimately, if presence gives us all of the information that we need in any moment, we have to be present in order to receive that information and to know what blocks us from getting that information.
Yes.
And then it's such a supreme level of adequacy, because which is what Bob was pointing at. Because then I know I'm informed in this moment with the information that I need to have the experience that I'm having, and I'm adequate to it. And then you don't have to rely on experts.
That's right.
Because that's outside of me, within quotes.
Yes, yes. And there are no regrets with that. I mean, I've talked to, over the years, I have talked to countless people, countless numbers, I guess it is, who have trusted an outside expert who was wrong, and they rue the day. But if we are looking to our own adequacy, we don't need to be disappointed or have regrets.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's the point that Bob made, that the practice of awareness really assists us to become skillful in being with what it is in the moment. So it's not like I have a problem that I need to fix. It's whatever it is that I'm experiencing, I can have the experience in compassion.
Yes.
There is nothing to be fixed. It's just another moment that I'm being present to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, that
is a different orientation.
Yeah, it is. That is a really important point. Yeah, there's nothing to be fixed. Whew.
And the ego doesn't like that, which is the other point that
no.
Bob made, which is, you know, it needs to be done with. It needs to be over.
Mm.
There has to be an end period at the end of this process, and I'm done with it so I can move on to the next thing. But that continuity, that life is a continuous set of moments that we're present to, is a life orientation. It's not an ego orientation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm.
All right, here's our next caller. You are
now
live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Emily from Seattle.
Hello, Emily.
Hi. This has been helping me so much. I've been working lately on trying to get out from this really, really big karma about work and career and about what I do. And, oh, it's been such a big one for me. It's just been it's like the constant control of my whole, at least my whole adult life of choosing what to do and making decisions. And it's, I just see it so clearly right now. Like it's just been ego stopping me from anything that I choose is just not the right thing.
The wrong thing.
Yeah. And
isn't that good
to
see?
Yeah. Anything I start is wrong. And now it's using that.
And you're
like,
just never
going to
be good enough.
Yeah. And you just didn't, and look now, you didn't ever
it's your fault.
Choose anything. You didn't ever do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and now there's really something wrong. You know, now it's just this excruciating like place that I go to, like, oh my God, there is really something wrong with me that I
so I'm sure we've talked about this, Emily, but I think that the best way for us to get around that is what are you going to do? What do you want to do? And so I'm going to suggest what you want is to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And what you want to do is be compassionate.
Yeah, sounds. I think that I realize this is what's been coming up of what do you want to work on is that I know that how I'm going to satisfy my heart is to have that, find that deep acceptance. Like I know that.
Even if you go with me though here, go with me on this. That what you want is to be happy. So so if that's what you want, then that's a single focus. Okay? Mm-hmm. Now what you want to do is be compassionate. And what you want to be is happy. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then it takes all the it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's going on, it doesn't matter who's there. It and there is the best part is there's no room for ego because neither of those is anything that ego can even begin to understand, let alone have an interest in or want to pursue. So in a way, it's like, you know, did you ever have king sex in games when you were a kid? You put yourself in a safe place, right? Nothing, ego can't get you there because what you're choosing is happiness and compassion. And you can have that. And I'll tell you this too: if that's your focus for your lifetime, people are going to write something really good on your tombstone. A lot better than she was extremely successful in her career as a hoo hoo.
Yeah. Well, that sounds really good.
I hope you give it a go, okay? Because I can promise you that is the deepest desire of your heart. And and having that really is as simple as choosing it in every moment in spite of the voices just screaming bloody murder about what a failure you are and wrong choices and how your life is one big mistake and what are you going to do and who are you going to be? And you just go back to happy and compassionate. Now, what would I like to? Yeah.
Well, I have been feeling like I can step away a little bit and see what it's doing now when I do that. I mean, because there is a really there. I mean, I can see it happening at the same time. Like I know that's what I want, but I can still I can see how I am being pulled over by, now you got to do something. Oh, now you're feeling good. Okay, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do?
That's right. Oh, I'm going to be happy and practice compassion. Yes, I have all this energy for happiness and compassion. Now I feel so good. I'm just going to go out there and be happy and compassionate.
But trusting, I mean, that trust, like that's going to take me where I want to go. Well, that's where
it will never. It will never take. You're back to ego land. It's never going to take ego where ego wants to go.
Right.
So that's the whole secret of this, right? But if your focus is on happy and compassionate, life is going to unfold for you in miraculous, amazing ways that you cannot currently imagine.
Oh,
all right.
Okay, I like the sound of that.
Good.
Okay. Thank you.
You can do it. All right.
Thank you,
Emily.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Emily. Go happy.
You know, Sherry, that's such an important process point you made. If the focus is on compassion and happiness, ego can't get us, right? Because that's not a realm in which ego operates. Which is
correct.
Why the focus is always on what are you going to do or some content in order to make it anchored in the realm of ego, where
that's
ego can always get us.
Yep. Yep.
That
pull
the
it into that little tiny dot of duality.
That, mm-hmm. Exactly. Or doing or achievement
mm-hmm.
or outcomes
mm-hmm.
or
career.
All of those things. Yes, that the mm-hmm. things that define a personality rather than a state of being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, of course, ego would have us believe that choosing happiness and compassion means you can't pursue a medical degree or you can't,
mm-hmm.
take a backpacking tour around the world or you can't. You know, it's just it's that either-or duality world that, as you say, ego wants to pull us into. But
mm-hmm.
being happy and compassionate, we can do anything. In fact, it's
really
the first time we can do anything.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and the notorious part about that is that if the focus is on pursuing the medical degree or going around the world, then what it can get us with is, well, you did that, but you're still not happy.
Yes. Yeah,
right.
Or you didn't.
Yeah.
You didn't do it because I didn't let you, and that's your fault.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hello. Good morning. This is Kim from Vashon. How are you?
Well, just happy to be here. How about you, Kim?
I am so happy to be here, and. I have been looking at these assignments and getting a little bamboozled, and what I'm seeing is, like I, with the gift, you know, I watched conditioning go straight to $1 million because then I could do this and that and this, and I give this much money, and then the process was that evening I was watching the Vietnam War series, the Ken Burns, and then I was like, I want world peace. That would be my gift. You know, and I guess I'm seeing that as two sides of a duality, but it's hard to see world peace as something that's not a gift. Am I still in conditioning
uh-huh.
there?
Well, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so tell me which assignment exactly you were working on.
This was the one from the process of if you could have any gift in the world, page 29. The process around that? Okay.
If you could have anything.
Anything.
So,
if
you could have anything, then you would have world peace.
Well,
And you're wondering if that's the same thing as if I could have anything, I'd have $1 million, and then I would.
Yeah, is it duality? Is it conditioning? Is that conditioning? How could that be conditioning?
Uh-huh. Well, what difference does it make?
What difference does it make if we have world peace? Are you asking me that?
No. No, you're asking is wanting world peace, is that coming from conditioning? And I would say that what's coming from conditioning for sure is wondering whether or not something is coming from conditioning.
So
if ego can get us into a, is that ego? Or is that center? Are you in conditioning or is that the heart or is that ego? There, we are firmly in ego's dualistic world.
I see. So I understand. So it doesn't matter. The process of the noodling part is still
conditioning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I still keep going to that place of, you know, answering the question, you know, in the book,
well,
in the workbook.
But right? answering the question gives us a sense of process, right? So it's answering that question that caused you to look at, is this conditioning or is that not? And so it's on two levels. One, if the subject is money, if the content is money, that must be conditioning. But if the content is peace, that must not be conditioning. Okay? But they're both content. And then you got to look at the process that you were using to ask that question. Now you realize that process itself is throwing us into the world of duality. And that's ego.
Got it. And so, like, then we can never answer that question, or am I now sucking back into, is the aperture closing down again?
Yep, you slid right back into ego again.
Right.
Here's the thing. To answer a question requires somebody to know the answer.
Okay.
And that's a big clue that we've slid into ego land. Because what ego wants to do is parse everything out, separate everything out into its own little separate compartments, and then it wants to own this and that, and it wants to be the center of, so I know that, and that's true, and that's real, and I believe that this, and this is what's important. That's the realm of ego. That's what it's doing all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And with awareness practice, what we're doing is dissolving that process so that increasingly there is only presence and there isn't anybody to be present or to know you're present. Or so people, you know, could say, are you centered? I don't know. I don't have any idea. I'm not going to step into ego land in order to noodle about that.
Okay, but I guess, so when we do our recording and listening practice, though, we make recordings so that we come back to this place of presence.
Uh-huh.
And that's a way to, when I'm listening to a recording about how my life is, you know, what I'm seeing and where I am and in the present and things that are good all around me, you know, that's not an answer, but then I kind of, I don't want to say I know, but it feels centered.
That's right. It does. And that's as close as we can ever get.
Okay.
Well, it feels like maybe
close to
center, but I don't know. Because we don't.
I see.
Because we never do.
I'm watching this process of the same thing of, I'm looking at it kind of like a camera aperture, and I can watch the camera aperture get smaller, and then boom, I'm identified, and then it zooms out again. The aperture opens up, and it's kind of a helpful image for me in this situation as well. I don't want it to be like an intellectual thing.
You don't want to cling to it.
But
it's a helpful. It's a helpful, there's something that's called, Ashwini would know what it is, but
a model.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
Well, thank
All right.
you
thank
so
you,
much.
Kim.
Oh, gosh, I'll see you
Pleasure.
In May. Very excited.
All right. Very good, very good. All right, go happy. Take
go,
care.
Go happy.
Thanks, Kim. Sherry, we have time for one more caller, so here we go.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Risa in Switzerland.
Well, hello.
Hey, Risa.
Hi. Well, I'm just so excited.
Happy to be here, huh?
I'm super happy to be here.
All right, what's going on?
Well, I have been seeing I've just been having some really interesting experiences around perfection and unconditional love. So the question,
uh-huh.
What do you need to work on? This answer came up that, and I was like, whoa, this is a bit of a departure, but since I can't do anything wrong here, I'm just going to try it. And I wrote,
uh-huh.
I am perfect in the box. And
uh-huh.
Whoa. And then I did my recording and listening about it. And the mentor was like, that's what unconditional love is like. And I was
mm-hmm.
like, oh, that sort of capacity to just always be enveloped. And then for the next question about an ongoing process in your life regarding this thing you need to work on, it dropped in that I needed to make an infographic for my response. So I made this graph where I sort of mapped out a trajectory of my life from infancy to my present age, and then sort of made these different levels of moments when I was more or less aligned with conditioning. But then I was like, the graph isn't done. So there needed to be a line sort of above all of that, those other lines, that was this experience of unconditional love. And then when I was recording and listening about that, the mentor explained that the unconditional love is always there, and it's not actually about choosing unconditional love, but releasing the resistance to feeling, to conditioning, so the resistance against the experience of unconditional love. But in fact, it takes no efforting to actually experience.
That's right. And so when we say we choose unconditional love, it's simply a shift in attention, which I think is what you're also describing.
Yeah, exactly.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to change or fix anything. You don't have to do anything. It's always, we're always here. Presence is. And it's turning attention away from what we're attending to instead of being here present to what is, which is what we call unconditional love.
Yeah.
Groovy, huh?
So groovy. I've just been like jumping up and down for a whole week about it.
Yeah. It's so simple, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's...
Yeah.
Yeah, just to continue to realize in each moment that I don't have to employ any tension or stress in my body or in my mind to find this place.
Yes. Yes.
That's why
you know, yogis and then meditators and you know the breath is such a big deal. You know, just dropping everything, just coming back to the breath. Feeling the breath move in the body, and here we are. You know, the body relaxes, the mind relaxes, everything relaxes, and here we are. And then, of course, we can watch ego, you know, start throwing it in gear and trying to find that accelerator.
Yeah, I have this image during this last week of or this idea that the sun is always shining, just some days there are clouds in between you and the sun.
Mm-hmm.
And so then it's really just a matter of noticing when you're looking at the clouds and when you're looking at the sun, but the sun's always there.
Yes. Another one that I like that goes along with that is that the stars are always there. Right? Mm-hmm. We can't see them in the daytime, but they're there. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, thank you, my dear.
No, you're welcome. Thank you. I feel like you guys are just the whole sangha. I don't even know how many people there are, but they're like all my new best friends. It's great.
Uh-huh. It's well, really we're on retreat in North Carolina, and some of your best friends are in the meditation hall listening to our conversation. So I bet many of them are smiling, knowing that they have such a good friend in Switzerland that they had no idea existed before now. All right. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take good care. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, Risa.
That brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry. So the assignment for today is, what did you consider and not select as the thing that you want most in the world? Or cognizant?
Uh-huh. What did you consider and decide against? Okay.
Yes.
That's very good. Well, treasure yourself, please. Go happy.
Go happy, and we'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Take care.